Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Biweekly Geopolitical Report for May 18th, 2026. I'm Phil Adler. Financial markets appear to be adjusting to the reality of tariffs. Confluence Associate Market Strategist and Certified Business Economist Thomas Walsh joins us today to discuss what we have learned in the past year and how that impacts investment planning. Thomas, my first question is whether some of these restrictive tariffs are here to stay. Should we plan on a tariff environment going forward, in spite of these Supreme Court rulings that many tariffs imposed by the Trump administration are unlawful?
Great question. So the Supreme Court hearing focused specifically on tariffs imposed under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, also known as IEEPA, which were used to target individual countries. The court's position was that the president does not have broad unilateral authority under IEEPA to impose such tariffs without congressional approval. Importantly, though, the ruling did not apply to sector-specific tariffs enacted under Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act. Those measures are more targeted and in many cases involve higher tariff rates than those implemented under IEEPA.
In your report this week, you revisit a subject you discussed last year, how tariffs can be classified into three categories: reciprocal, revenue, and restrictive, and each type has a specific goal and economic impact on trade. Now, do most of the Trump administration tariffs fall into the most aggressive category that tends to restrict imports and lead to trade wars and higher prices?
That's another really good question. But before I get to that and answer it, let me first kind of get our audience up to date on what we mean when we say, you know, the three R's of tariffs. So the three R's are revenue, restriction, and reciprocity. Reciprocal tariffs are about trade concessions. So you lower your tariffs, I lower mine, using tariffs as basically a negotiating tool to lower barriers on both sides. Revenue tariffs are mainly about raising money for the government. They're set at modest levels that bring in funds without being so high that they shut down imports. Restrictive tariffs are the highest and most controversial, designed to explicitly limit imports and protect domestic producers by making foreign goods more expensive. After the recent Supreme Court decision striking down Trump's IEEPA-based tariffs, many of those emergency reciprocal duties were invalidated. But other tariffs under different statutes remain. Under those remaining measures are best described as restrictive because they are set at levels intended to constrain imports rather than just raise revenues or encourage reciprocity.
Well, if we are to plan on restrictive tariffs going forward, it makes sense for investors to examine what we've learned in the year since they were implemented by the Trump administration. And I have a number of questions about these effects. First, have Americans been buying fewer imported goods as costs rise?
Well, the impact of tariffs on imports hasn't always shown up in a straightforward way because consumers typically don't buy directly from foreign producers. There are exceptions. You know, we've seen clear declines in imports of autos and some categories of toys, but for many other goods, the effect is less direct. For example, there has been a sharp drop in steel imports as tariffs has risen. For example, there has been a sharp drop in steels as tariffs have risen, alongside increases in imports of certain substitute products and inputs as firms adjust. Even so, overall, consumer spending has remained relatively resilient despite higher tariff rates and in some cases higher inflation.
Have restrictive tariffs protected domestic companies from competition?
You know, and I think that's another very good question. So the impact of restrictive tariffs on domestic firms has varied by industry, but one of the clearest beneficiaries has been U.S. steel producers. After the tariffs were imposed, domestic steel prices moved higher while imports fell. We saw a noticeable shift in where U.S. steel was coming from as well. In particular, Canadian steel's share of U.S. imports changed significantly, which helped strengthen the competitiveness position of U.S. steel companies.
Next question. Have these tariffs resulted in foreign countries investing more in American manufacturing?
Yes. So there's definitely been an increase in investment from other countries, with some of the earliest and most notable flows coming from Japan, often structured as joint ventures in energy and commodities. These investments have been tied to recent trade agreements under which partner countries receive more favorable tariff treatment in return for committing new investments in the United States starting in 2025.
And how about the goal of encouraging investment here at home by U.S.-based companies? Have tariffs helped create jobs at home?
I think there has been a genuine effort by some U.S. manufacturers to bring production back home, but the response has been uneven across sectors. The president has offered tariff relief to firms that make credible reshoring commitments, and a number of companies have taken advantage of that incentive. For example, several automakers have begun shifting production back to the United States, including a controversial decision by Stellantis to move work from plants in Canada and Mexico to U.S. facilities. By contrast, other industries have lagged, most notably pharmaceuticals, where limited progress has prompted the president to threaten, though not yet implement, tariffs as high as 100% on certain firms.
The economy and the stock market have been growing, mainly because of AI investment. So my question here is, have tariffs played a major role on this front?
I think it's still difficult to say whether tariffs have significantly helped the U.S. economy so far, but I do agree that AI has been a major support through the surge in related investment spending. At the same time, AI has helped certain countries abroad, especially in emerging and Southeast Asia, remain surprisingly resilient to U.S. tariffs, in part because they have been able to pass on some of the higher costs along global supply chains. That's one reason emerging Asian equity markets have been among the stronger performers since these tariffs were introduced. As investors have gravitated toward the region's role in AI hardware, components, and diversified manufacturing.
So I'm not sure it's possible to bottom line this, but is it possible to deduce whether tariffs have been so far a plus or a minus for overall economic growth in the United States?
In my view, I think it's really too early to tell the full impact of these tariffs because they've only been in place for a few months, and their ultimate effect will likely take years to fully play out. Last year, the tariff announcements created significant uncertainty, which appears to have weighed on investment and probably slowed some hiring as firms tried to figure out how to best adapt. More recently, though, the combination of the new tax bill and a push towards regulation has provided some relief and clearer rules of the game. We've started to see a noticeable pickup in both capital spending and hiring, which has materially improved the economic outlook.
We can't forget that tariffs have also generated some income for the government. Is the amount enough to, say, make a dent in the federal deficit?
Yes, I would say so. So tariff revenue has boosted government revenue by roughly $350 billion this year and now account for a bit more than 6% of the total federal tax receipt, about three times their share before these measures were introduced. That growing fiscal importance makes it more likely that at least some of these tariffs will prove durable, regardless of which party controls the White House in the coming years.
And how is tariff policy likely to evolve during the coming year?
I do think tariff rates could change following the Supreme Court ruling, which may lead to lower duties in some areas, even as the White House looks to raise or maintain higher tariffs in select industries it wants to protect. But taken together, we expect overall tariff levels to remain broadly similar to where they stand today.
And what investment categories seem likely to benefit as restrictive tariffs become ingrained in our economy?
So, like I mentioned early on in this interview, several emerging Asian markets have outperformed the U.S. and most other regions over the past year. This outperformance could be jeopardized if the White House moves to tighten trade flows further through more restrictive tariffs. However, one sector we're looking at is the U.S. energy sector, which also stands to benefit as it has become a key target for new capital and trade commitment that require partner countries to purchase U.S. energy exports. You know, overall, we think these evolving trade patterns also have important implications on currency. We expect the overall impact on the dollar to remain a headwind as more countries diversify their reserve holdings away from the dollar and deepen trade and financial ties with alternative export markets.
Thank you, Thomas. The title of this week's report is The Trade Trilemma Revisited, and you can find a link to the written report on the Confluence webpage, confluenceinvestment.com. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. This information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.